Let's turn, please, in our Bibles to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. We're looking tonight at the subject of the house of the interpreter, which is representation of the teaching of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God as our teacher. And it is quite a long section, and so we're not going to look at it all tonight. There's so much in the house of the interpreter that he interprets and instructs the Christian in, that I want us to take a few weeks at it and look at these specifically, because Bunyan specifically mentions them, I believe, because they are essential elements of our understanding of the gospel and for our profit as Christians. And this is what he says in the first part of the book, the first part of his introduction to the House of the Interpreter. On page 26 of the Pilgrim's Progress, on the edition that we are using here, the Christian comes to the House of the Interpreter. He knocks on the door. "Sir," he says, "here is a traveller who was bid by an acquaintance of the good man of this house to call here for my profit. I would therefore speak with the master of the house." So we called the master of the house, who after a little time came to Christian and asked him what he would have. "Sir," said Christian, "I am a man that am come from the city of destruction. I'm going to Mount Zion, and I was told by the man that stands at the gate at the head of this way that if I call here, you would show me excellent things, such as would be helpful to me on my journey." "Then," said interpreter, "come in, and I will show thee that which will be profitable to thee." So he commanded his man to light the candle and bid the Christian follow him. And so there are, I think there are certain elements in this house of the interpreter that are essential to our understanding of the Christian life, to our understanding of the Christian faith, that I want us to dwell on in the next few weeks. And so we're going to sort of introduce the house of the interpreter tonight. Let's read, please, in Psalm 112, because we have in this psalm statements that refer and that speak of our instruction as Christians. We're not left alone. We're not left without a teacher. And so the psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favour and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved, and shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless this psalm to our hearts tonight. I want to, as we go along here, look a particular verse in this psalm. But we come tonight to the house of the interpreter on the subject of the Christian taught of God. The Christian taught of God. If you have read Pilgrim's Progress, and I trust you have and are reading it as you go through these studies, you will see, you will come to this house of the interpreter. And there are some who believe that the house of the interpreter, as Bunyan was representing it, is a reference to the pastor or the minister of the gospel. And you'll see the footnotes there. I'm not going to go through all the footnotes. You can read those at your leisure, just in case you thought I was making these stories up. I thought I'd give you all the references there, that you can check them out, and you can do further study. I believe, however, that Bunyan is not speaking of the pastor here, but he is speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think the fullness of that, the depth of that, and the extent of that, comes out as we go on in the house of the interpreter, George B. Cheever, whose lectures on Pilgrim's Progress are classics. And I'm not sure if they're in print. I have an old copy. But Cheever said in the first line of this lecture on the House of the Interpreter, he said, "It would be difficult to find 12 consecutive pages in the English language that contain such volumes of meaning, in such beautiful and instructive lessons, with such heavenly imagery, and so pure and sweet style, and with so thrilling an appeal to the best affections of the heart, as these pages describing the Christian sojourn in the House of the Interpreter." There are a number of things that we're going to look at in the coming weeks. There are 6 lessons that the pilgrim learns in the House of the Interpreter that are fundamental, I believe, to understanding the gospel. The first one he comes to, and this is a young Christian. This is Christian just out from the gate, having entered into Christ, and the Spirit of God takes him and teaches him things concerning the gospel. Of course, Bunyan is speaking of what has happened himself. He speaks in Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, his spiritual autobiography, of a time after he had gotten saved, just after he had gotten saved, where the Spirit instructed him with regard to particular areas of life. And so he experienced this. After having been converted to Christ, he experiences a special time of learning, an intensity of learning perhaps, an excitement in learning where the Holy Spirit was teaching, where the Holy Spirit was rich in that teaching, and where that teaching was foundational to the future Christian life that he would live. This is what Bunyan is giving us the picture of here. The first picture that he gives is a picture of a pastor. The picture of a pastor. And the instruction then is how to choose a good pastor. It's the first picture he comes to. The first emblem he comes to. The second one is the dusty room of the soul. And he is instructed in that, in the corruption of the heart. The corruption of the heart. We're going to see that in due course. Then he comes to the two children, passion and patience, and he is instructed there on a lesson in patience. Passion wants everything now. And patience is willing to wait in order that he might get it, to keep it. An instruction, a lesson in faith and patience. Then he comes to the fire fueled by secret grace. This fire that is fueled, and the devil is there pouring water on it and pouring water on it, but the flame does not recede. The flame keeps coming. And the interpreter shows him behind the wall where the grace and the fuel is being given to the fire to fuel it. Fueled by secret grace. A lesson in the unseen hand of God in trials. These are fundamental to a Christian's life. To a young Christian's life as he comes into faith. Then he showed him the door of the palace gained by a great fight. That encouragement to fight the good fight. Because as a young Christian gets saved, and when a young Christian gets saved, he may feel as though he is invincible. He may feel as though, as he's walking on air, that nothing can stop him. And it's only a few miles down the road, so to speak, that he discovers that there's a devil. And he discovers the devil in all his fury. And so he comes now to the House of the Interpreter at the initial stage of his journey as a Christian. And one of the lessons is, fight the good fight of faith. When the novelty, as it were, of Christianity is worn off, and the fight begins in earnest, fight the good fight of faith. And so that's another lesson he learns. And then perhaps the most visible of all of the lessons in the Pilgrim's Progress is the man in the iron cage. And here we have a warning against apostasy. A warning against apostasy. We're going to come to these lessons in due course. But I want us to understand what Bunyan is doing here and what we as Christians, as young Christians, beloved, when we speak of mature Christians and immature Christians, we are not speaking, and understand this, we are not speaking of a mature Christian in the sense of one who has been saved a long time. There are Christians who have been saved a long time, but they're immature Christians. We ought not think of ourselves as mature Christians. We ought always to think of ourselves as always needing to learn, always needing to be instructed. And there are those who have been saved a long time, who have been in church a long time, who perhaps even have a knowledge of the facts of Scripture, who are very, very immature Christians. And it is those to whom Bunyan is writing, and I think as we see the lessons that he gives, the lessons that interpreter gives to Bunyan, I think we're going to see the immaturity of us all in our lack of understanding of the intricacies of the inner workings of God in the life of men and women. I think we've seen that already in Pilgrim's Progress, the depth and the profundity of Bunyan's knowledge of Scripture and the depth of his knowledge of the human heart. It's phenomenal. And our understanding is dwarfed as we come to a full understanding of Scripture in these things. And so, Pilgrim enters through the gate, and Goodwill, Mr. Goodwill, directs him to the house of the interpreter to be instructed by the Spirit of God. I want us to notice first of all, that the instruction of the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God as our instructor, the Spirit of God as our teacher, is an integral part of our sanctification. They are not two different things. The Spirit of God as our sanctifier and the Spirit of God as our teacher are not two separate workings of the Spirit of God that are completely separated. They are one. In our sanctification, in the Spirit of God working sanctification in us, drawing us closer to the Lord, He is, in that, our teacher. The teaching of the Spirit of God, the instruction of the Spirit of God, is integral to our sanctification. And I want us to see this. If you turn to a few passages in particular, Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50. And the verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now I want you to notice in these passages of Scripture that deal with the Spirit of God as our teacher, they are conditional. They are conditional on what we do. They are conditional on our conduct. As we saw this morning in Psalm number 1, the happy man, the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, there are consequences, favourable consequences to that conduct. Conversely, there are unfavourable consequences to the misconduct of the Christian. Understand that. And here in Psalm number 50 in the verse 23, There are conditions to the light. There are conditions to the instruction that the Spirit of God gives us. Psalm 50 verse 3. To him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. John 7 verse 17. If any man will to do his will. If any man will. If any man has the desire to do the will of God, he shall know the doctrine. Beloved, if you do not have the desire to do the will of God, if you do not have the desire and the determination to go through with God, God will not lead you. That's what the scripture is saying. John 7, verse 17. If any man will to do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether he speak of himself. That desire to go through with God, to know him, to live for him, is augmented and blessed by the Spirit of God coming as our teacher, sanctifier, to guide us, to interpret the scripture, to interpret life, to interpret the path of the pilgrim. This is integral to our understanding of sanctification. In Matthew 5, verse 8, there's another conditional statement. The Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You go to scripture, and your heart is not pure, and you have not dealt with sin, and there are things in your life that you are not prepared to deal with, or there is not that earnestness to go through and know God, you go to scripture and you read it in vain. It's a closed book, spiritually. The Spirit of God will not speak. The Spirit of God will not reveal himself to you. So therefore, there are many, many Christians who read their Bible daily. Daily. And get little from it. And therefore grow little because they have not the earnestness, they have not the will, they have not the desire to know and to pursue God. That's what the scripture says with regard to the Spirit of God as our teacher, interpreter, and our sanctifier. But here in the house of the interpreter, Christian is introduced to the personal instruction of the Holy Spirit. The personal instruction of the Holy Spirit. We've seen the Spirit in his role as the convictor of sin. We have seen, and we will see in later pages in Pilgrim's Progress, the Spirit as our fellowship. We will see the Spirit as our helper in prayer. Romans chapter 8 tells us that he maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. It is the Spirit that helps us to pray. But here we see the Spirit as our teacher. As our teacher, as our instructor. And he comes alongside us personally. And the pilgrim is directed to the house by Mr. Goodwill, where he will see that it is not only the pleasure of the Lord to save. It is not only the goodwill towards men that God has to save, but it is the pleasure of God to instruct. Be encouraged with that. It's the Lord's goodwill to save us. And if it is the Lord's goodwill to save us, he is not going to leave us alone. He will instruct us. He will teach us. He will guide us. He will comfort us. So, we cannot have the Spirit of God only as our Savior. We can also have him as our instructor, as our teacher. And he doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us to human instruments, while human agency is imperative. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 speaks of edifying one another and encouraging one another and building one another up in the faith by singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The scripture also speaks of the ministry of the preacher and the pastor in building and encouraging and rebuking and strengthening the people of God and exhorting the people of God. But the Christian is not simply left to the mere blessings of human instruments, whether it's the preacher or the people in the congregation. The Christian, the pilgrim, is also promised the instruction of the Spirit of God, personally. Personally. The pilgrim is taken here into the house of the interpreter. He's taken by the hand. He's taken by the hand. And he's led. And he's guided through every room in the house and instructed personally. Personally by the Spirit of God. It is personal. The Spirit of God is our teacher. It's personal. It is persistent and it is permanent. It is personal, persistent, and permanent. Beloved, you may have enjoyed in the past the instruction and the teaching of the Spirit of God teaching you and guiding you and directing your path and revealing to you the will of God for your life. But it may be you may be in a place now spiritually where you're cold, of heart. The Spirit of God as your teacher is still active because He convicts you. He reminds you of where you once were. He reminds you of what you now need. He reminds you of what the Lord has for you. He is persistent. And even when you in your flesh and in the coldness of heart perhaps would wish that the Spirit of God would leave you alone for a time, yet He persists because He has promised never to leave you. Never to leave you or forsake you. And even though the Christian living in ungodliness for a time in a cold and backslidden state, he experiences the truth of that promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But another thing I want us to see as we look at the house of the interpreter, that although the interpreter is represented as being close to the point of conversion, and from which he must travel on, you see, we're looking at this pilgrimage here, and this idea of pilgrim coming to the house of the interpreter and leaving and moving on. Yet it should not be overlooked that Bunyan represents this as a house. As a house. Interesting. And here I think we see the genius and the insight into Bunyan's mind with regard to the Christian life. Because he represents this as a house. This is not someone whom he has met along the way and whom he can leave. This is a house that he enters into. It is a dwelling house where interpreter dwells. Where interpreter dwells. The young Christian should learn the lessons. The young Christian should know the lessons and learn the lessons as he sets out on his pilgrimage. As he begins his Christian life, and as I said, it may not necessarily be when you begin your Christian life. It might be that need as you go on in your Christian life and you have reached a plateau where there has been nothing in your Christian life and you have grown cold and you have forgotten and you have not learned stuff perhaps in the Christian life. You have not studied Scripture. You have not memorized Scripture for years. And you've become pygmied in your Christian experience. It's the house of the interpreter you need. It's the instruction of the Spirit of God that you need. It's the comfort of the Spirit of God that you need, because He is our comforter. He is our instructor. He is the one who guides us. And the pilgrim here is in the house of the interpreter as he sets out on the way to the celestial city. But it's a dwelling house. It's a dwelling house. And the Spirit, as we've seen, dwells in the Christian. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. We are sealed with the Spirit of God. And while the Spirit of God dwells in us, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, which every Christian has, which is the seal of his redemption, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are a Christian. And the Spirit of God will preserve you and will work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Because he who has begun a good work in you will perform it. So the Spirit of God dwells in the Christian, according to Ephesians 1:13. But the Christian ought to dwell in the Spirit. If you look over at Ephesians chapter 5, the Christian ought to dwell in the Spirit. This is an imperative. This is not something that happens at the will of God. This is not something that is relegated, if I could say, to an item of our prayer that we pray for and we work towards. This is something that we are commanded to do. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto the Lord and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's a command, beloved. And it is our duty as God's people to dwell in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to have the Spirit of God. And as I said earlier, these verses that we have read regarding the working of the Spirit, Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The conditions that the Lord has laid upon us, being instructed by the Spirit. There are certain conditions we must meet. And we will not meet them until we know the help of the Spirit. And so it is a cycle. We get the help of the Spirit to be pure in heart, and we are pure in heart. We approach the Spirit of God. We pray for the Spirit of God, and we are instructed by the Spirit of God. And you will notice in the Pilgrim's Progress that Bunyan has his pilgrim knock on the door. And after some time, Bunyan says, after some time, this is something, beloved, as I said before, that we must be in earnest. Unto the upright, Psalm 112 verse 4 says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Unto the upright, conditions upon the Spirit of God teaching and enlightening and illumining our hearts and guiding us. The Spirit of God will not lead you. You will not know the will of God unless there are certain conditions fulfilled. And I've said it often, and I've said it, and I'll say it again, that we are not to use the Bible as a roadmap to pull out every time we're in difficulty. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord will not be at your beck and call when you want Him, when you think you need Him. The Lord is not your servant. You are His servant. And we ought not to treat the Lord with such contempt. We ought not to treat the Lord with such contempt. If we are to know the will of God, we live in the Spirit. We dwell. We dwell, to use the imagery of Pilgrim's Progress, we dwell in the house of the interpreter. That's where our mind is, being guided in the mind and the heart by the Spirit of God. That's what John tells us in John 15 verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, Christ said. And so there are obligations upon us as God's people. But Bunyan's image of the house indicates something also of fellowship, of entering into a relationship. It's not a cold instruction. It's not a cold command. And this gets us into this idea of the commands of God and the will of God and the duties that Christians have as God's people. The commands of the Scriptures to the believer are not cold commands. Verse 1 of Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That loves the law, in other words. That desires to know the law. That desires to keep the law. He delights in it. There's a relationship there. It's not a cold law. It's a law that we delight in. It's a command that we delight in. And Pilgrim comes in here, and the Spirit of God, the interpreter, takes him by the hand, and he enters in communion. He enters into communion with the person of the Spirit. He speaks to us. That's what I want you to see tonight. The Spirit of God, as our teacher, instructor, as our comforter, speaks with relationship and communion to us, God's people. His heart and his life and his will are trained and guided and governed by the speaking power of God. He is the witness. He is the witness of the Spirit to the mind as a teacher. Now, how does this work? How does he do this? How does the Spirit teach us? How does the Spirit direct us? How does the Spirit guide us? We are not mystics. We don't go out into the woods and think that we have a direct communication with the Spirit of God who is in the woods, who's part of all of nature. We're not pantheists. We don't sit in a heated room with our legs crossed, thinking that we're going to get some message directed to us. The Lord, the God of heaven, uses means common to humanity. And he has written in a book the instructions, the guidelines, the blessings, the promises, the exhortations, the rebukes for his people. It's the Word of God. And we see this as Pilgrim comes through the door of the house of the interpreter. The interpreter asks that a candle be brought. Beautiful, beautiful imagery. As Cheever said, it would be difficult to find 12 consecutive pages of the English language that contain such volumes of meaning, in such beautiful and instructive lessons, with such heavenly imagery, and in so pure and sweet style, with so thrilling an appeal to the best affections of the heart, as these pages described in Pilgrim's Sojourn in the House of the Interpreter. So we asked for a candle. He asks for a candle because it is through the light of the Word that the Spirit instructs. It is through the light of the Word that the Spirit instructs us. Bunyan says in his commentary on Genesis chapter 1, where the Lord said, "Let there be light," Bunyan, commenting on this, says, "His first word, in order for our conversion, is, let there be light. Let there be light." If you see in the footnote there, number 17, footnote 17, "When the Holy Ghost worketh upon us and in us, in order to a new creation, he first touches the understanding, that great place of the heart, with his spiritual illumination. He illumines with his word. He instructs with the light of his word, with the candle of his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," Psalm 119 tells us. And it is the same means, it is the word of God that instructs us, that lights, that sheds light upon our lives through the word. And Bunyan says, "His first word in order to our conversion is, let there be light. Light to see their state by nature, light to see the fruits and effects of sin, light to see the truth and worth of the merits of Jesus Christ, light to see the truth and faithfulness of God in keeping promises and covenant with them that embrace salvation upon the blessed terms of the gospel of peace." He gives light. And it's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. Beloved, if you want instructed, if you want guided by the Lord, if you want to know and enjoy, and listen to me, if you want to know and enjoy the guiding hand of God and to hear God speak, I ask you tonight, have you ever heard God speak? As a Christian, has the Word of God been so alive to you that you know without any shadow of a doubt, an experience that brings you to your knees before God, that warms your heart before God, and that draws tears from your eyes? Have you experienced that? That's God speaking as you read Scripture. That's God teaching you. That's the Spirit of God instructing you. That's the Spirit of God enlightening your mind and your heart. And if you have never experienced that, I pity you tonight. I pray that you would experience that. That's what I minister for every week. That's my goal every week in all that I am teaching, the whole counsel of God, that you're driven to the Word of God to experience the Spirit of God yourself, to hear Him speak. If you do not experience that, you're existing. And I fear that most of the church, the greater part of the evangelical church, is existing. We're powerless, impotent. And Christians can come and go to the house of God as they please, when they will, with no desire to follow on, with no earnestness. And I know why. Because they never hear God speak. Never hear God speak. And we have people in this church who come as they please, one or two services when they want. And you might not see them for weeks. Never at a prayer meeting. And I know why. They've never heard God speak. The Spirit of God is our teacher. He takes us by the hand. And He guides us. He instructs us. And He sends us on our way. And I trust and I pray tonight that you, the faithful who are here tonight, will seek the face of God to hear His voice. Perhaps as you used to, perhaps you can remember, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? You will not get it until you pursue it. Until you knock on the door of the interpreter. Until you're earnest. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And He will instruct you. He will guide you. He will illumine the pages of Scripture. He will lighten life itself. And give you hope in hopelessness. I trust that the Lord will bless you tonight. That the Lord will bring you again. Perhaps you've been at the house of the interpreter in your early Christian experience, but you've never been back. You've never been instructed again by the Spirit of God. I trust again tonight that you will visit again, knock again on the door of the house of the interpreter and hear Him speak. And feel Him, when I use that word particularly, and feel Him taking you by the hand, spiritually, and guiding you. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for all our people. That's my prayer for my family. That's my prayer for your family. And if we know that, this church will need more seats. This church will know no bounds. This church will be blessed, and you will be blessed. The poet Thomas Smith, in his poem, "Divine Interpreter, to Thee we reverently lift our eyes and fervently entreat that we may know Thy mysteries. 'Tis Thy blessed Spirit, Thou alone, the faithful minister can show. Unveil the heart, and then make known what both the law and gospel do. last verse, whatever our portion be below, some sweet assurance deigned to give, that we to endless bliss shall go when on the earth we cease to live. I trust that our pilgrimage to that celestial city might be illumined and enlightened and encouraged by our visit to the house of the interpreter, that he will show us things, that we might pray, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Make that your prayer as you go home tonight from the Lord's day, from the Lord's house, on the Lord's day, to begin a new week. Pray that prayer, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's knocking on the door of the interpreter. And I guarantee you, if you're in earnest, if you desire, he will open and he will take you by the hand and he will use the lamp, the light of the scriptures, to guide and direct and bless and instruct. Let's pray.